I feel like a TV evangelist. So again, Hosanna. Crucify him. All at the same time. Again, thank you to Amy for reading really, really well for us. But in the story of the triumphal entry, what's going on? Let me just... Oh. Mark chapter 11, 1 to 11. We're going to run through the story just very, very briefly, and then there's just something I want to pick up on. There's 2 days that are caught here in the story. I'm just going to fly through this, but it'd be great to have scripture open on your lap there. There's chaos, and there's the crowd, and there's Jesus riding in the donkey, the image of a triumph, a Roman triumph, victory. We're riding on the colt is a sign of peace, but in the middle of this whole story, there's proclamation. Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And as Stephen started in our service there this morning, the Pharisees and the religious leaders say to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke your disciples. You know, they're out of order." And Jesus says, "If they keep quiet, even the very stones will cry out." Because it's a proclamation of who Jesus is as the Messiah. Read verse 11, because it's just a lovely, really interesting little verse. Verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem, went to the temple, looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12, most likely to stay at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. Then chapter 12, verse 1, the next day as they were leaving. So day 2, we're into a second day. And here, say, I'm just going to race through this. They're walking back into Jerusalem. Jesus sees a fig tree. He's hungry. He goes over to get fruit from it, and there is none. And he curses the fig tree and walks on. The disciples hear him, think, that was a bit odd. He gets in to Jerusalem, where he had been yesterday when he went to the temple and looked around. He goes back to the temple and he cleanses the temple. Clears the temple, but also the word cleanse is about purity. It's this parable about the tree. There's something going on in this picture of the tree. The fig tree or the olive tree actually was an image of Israel, and there was no fruit. It was barren. Jesus goes to the temple, the very heart of their worship, and says, "You've turned the place of worship into a den of thieves." He clears the temple. Chapter 11, verse 20. Again, in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you have cursed is withered." Again, there's this whole imagery going on here, this parable of Israel and who they are at heart. Prime Minister's question time, or maybe one of these debates that's going on. Chapter 11, verse 27, some of the religious leaders come to Jesus and actually start questioning him. And it's again really very much about him proving himself. Who do you think you are? Is maybe the question you could write over it. Then chapter 12, verses 1 to 12, there's a whole story here. Maybe you remember the parable of the tenant in the vineyard. The master in the vineyard sends one of his servants to go and collect his money, his rent, and they kill him. Send a second servant, they kill him. Eventually, sends his son, they kill him. What we're told in chapter 12 is the religious leaders, they knew that he had spoken this parable against him, or against them. So this whole wrestle with the religious authorities is going on. And this whole exposing the religion of the people is going on. And as Jesus told this parable about the servants being sent and being killed, and then the son being sent to the owner of the vineyard, again, remember, vineyard, vine, Israel, they killed him and thought they got away with it. And the religious leaders knew that he had spoken this parable against them. Then we go into another series of question times with Pharisee, Sadducee, other religious leaders coming to Jesus, questioning him, questioning him, questioning him. The whole image here is that Jesus is going toe-to-toe with the Pharisees. Jesus is going toe-to-toe with the religious people who are maybe going through a form of religion, but their hearts are so far from God. You're like whitewashed tombs, we read in Matthew 23, in the kind of the same account, this window between the crucifixion and the triumphal entry. You're like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they are full of dead men's bones. You see what's going on here? Jesus is toe-to-toe with the religious leaders, exposing them for who they are and for their hypocrisy, and exposing religion that just goes through the motions or wants to be seen by men. So hold that thought. Football punditry. Does it ever annoy you? Rugby punditry. Does it ever annoy you? Brian Moore's big mouth. It amazes me sometimes watching the football. Not that I watch it that often. But that you're watching a match, and then it goes to halftime, and the pundits are talking. And all of a sudden, they're talking about a game that you haven't been watching. Because as they're watching the match, they see these things that are happening that an ignorant mind like me just completely misses. Oh, no, these people here, if you see that there's this wee triangle here and they're doing this, which means that that's negating this that they're doing. I'm thinking, hello? Is this the same match? And so often they get it right, don't they? I don't know if you remember Alan Hansen saying about Man United and Beckham and schools and all the boys, they'll never win anything with kids. But it amazes me. Football pundits see things that I don't see. I think I've told you before, but I used to be involved in Project Evangelism over in Portrush way in the early 80s. And one weekend that I was up, I was with a doctor friend. And Michael said to me one day, he says, Gordy, have you got a lazy left eye? And I went, what? And he says, no, I've just noticed in the evenings your left eye begins to droop a wee bit. You must have a lazy left eye. I'm thinking, yes. He says, have you an ingrown toenail in your right foot? I'm thinking, yes. And as he's watching me, Dr. Bonner's sitting there as well, he's going, But this guy, because he was a doctor, could see things that other people wouldn't see. There was a chap on TV the other day talking about these debates that were going to be going on, and he's a body language expert. And he was talking about how maybe watch out for the politician that says something and then steps back from the lectern, which probably means it's the party line, but they don't quite agree with it. Or if they keep rubbing their lip, it means this. I was thinking, goodness, oh, I'm now actually quite paranoid standing at a lectern. But you know what I'm saying? That there's people who have skills and abilities to see things. And we completely miss them because we're not informed. And here in the temple, you think, Gordy, where are you going with this? Here in the middle of this whole talk of religion and cold religion, follow with me, please, verse 41 of Mark 12. So Jesus is toe-to-toe with the religious leaders, exposing their cold-heartedness. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They give out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had, all she had to live on." So in the midst of this story of cold-hearted religion, and Jesus exposing it and going head to head with it, like a football pundit, he says, "Ha, do you see that?" Everybody else had missed it. This frail little lady comes into the temple and worships from her heart. All the fancy people, all the rich people, all the Pharisees praying to be seen by people missed it. Jesus goes, "That's what I'm talking about." The court of the temple, there were 13 trumpets, as they were called. Big jars, narrow at the top, wide at the bottom, called trumpets. And they were the treasury jars. The 13th jar was kind of like for 13, but all for different funds, but like your building fund and your missionary fund and your free will offering. Lots of different funds. The 13th was just to be exuberant or extra. But Jesus is actually just sitting watching and says to the disciples, "Watch and learn. Watch and learn what true religion, what true faith is. A poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny." Most likely a little coin called a lipa, which was known as the thin one, like myself. The thin one, the least, the smallest. I know the ladies in PW do this, Fellowship of the Least Coin. But here, this lady, her faith is just simple. Most likely a common everyday activity. Just another ordinary day going about her business, but God was a normal part of her business. And in the midst of the chaos and the religious fuss and bother and hypocrisy and money-making schemes in the temple, this little lady just simply comes to worship. She comes silently, with no fuss or fanfare. See, the Pharisees stood up, prayed about himself. You know the little parable Jesus tells in Luke 18. "Thank you, Lord, that I am not like other men and like this tax collector here." And the tax collector stands at the back, hangs his head, says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says, he goes home justified. This little lady, it's not about noise and fuss and wanting to be seen. The Pharisees loved to pray standing in the synagogues or in the street corners to be seen by men. Not this lady. Silently comes to worship. Simply comes to worship. Sacrificially comes to worship. In percentage terms, she gave the most. If you read in the passage there, and actually just jump back into verses 38 and onwards. Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes, be greeted in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues, the place of honor at banquets. But they devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished severely. But this lady comes and just gives all she has in percentage terms, so much more. She, in her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. We're told, 1 Samuel 16, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The widow's attitude in worship, simple, silent, sacrificial. Big lessons for us there. I'm so encouraged by Jesus' awareness. He also saw a poor widow. Luke 21, same account, but just as he also saw a poor widow. Like a football pundit or a doctor or a body language expert, but way more than that. Jesus sat in the middle of all this religious activity and said, disciples, watch and learn. He noticed her. Do you ever feel that you're not noticed? Do you ever feel that you're just sailed over? Jesus sees. Jesus saw. And from that, again, just remember we are valued. In the midst of the melee in the temple courts, Jesus saw. We all search for significance, a sense of security. In Jesus, we are valued. We are worth so much to our Savior. In Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, lovely words. Again, it's talking actually about the temple and about sacrifices, but it says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. We are valued by Jesus. We are noticed by Jesus. We are important to Jesus. Disciples, watch and learn. Look at this lady's worship. For you and I, just as we finish this morning, the challenge is to be faithful with what we have been given. To be faithful with what we have been given. Like this little lady, this widow woman, putting in 2 thin ones, 2 small copper coins, but her act of worship was more significant than the religious leaders making a big show and a big fuss. We're called to be faithful with what we have. And I love actually within church, the guys doing tech stuff, the ladies doing tea every Sunday morning. Sorry to embarrass you, but it's just being faithful. Just serving. There's lots and lots of other ways all around church where that happens. Also be encouraged that you're seen and known by God. You're not forgotten. In the midst of the chaos in the temple, Jesus spots this simple, silent, sacrificial act of worship. And maybe we could learn from that. Just as the band come up and get ready, let's just quieten ourselves in prayer, please.